Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Anyway, alright, a little context. So this is the Silence Asylum video made a couple of years ago. And essentially the one Veritasium is ripping off for whatever he's got, 4 million views now, who knows. I don't know what provokes this guy, Nick Lucid. Exactly to make this argument. It's the same argument as essentially Veritasium is making. Obviously, he made it first. Why people are making it, I don't know where. Maybe somebody else originally claimed this idea that somehow the little green stuff moving, they're sort of arguing that the current, the energy is in the little green stuff, and that's what lights the light bulb, not the blue stuff going through the wires. It just has to do with the fact that they don't really understand how any of these fields are created. And so that's why they have this misconception that anytime the field does something, that somehow it had new energy in it. And that it wasn't just the fact that you changed the energy from being in a form that could be recognized by an atom to a form that the atom couldn't care less because it's too mixed. So it's really just about patterns, as I've been saying, for about 10 years. I guess we'll just go to the drawing board and make this, I will explain, okay, that it's not what you think, all right, just like he says. But current and energy don't flow the way you think. So again, circuit energy, sorry. He does say in here, based on the laws of electrodynamics, energy cannot flow in the same direction as electric current. I mean, no sale. Yeah, it can. Yeah, it does. direction does matter. Anyway, all right, so the idea is electric wire, battery, and we'll just make this big so I can... in some way or other, make it known what I'm talking about. And then you have a load, okay, and then you go back to the battery. So the argument is that what the battery is doing is pushing electrons. Now, by pushing electrons, it could be just as simple as, you have an electron on an atom, proton, electron, and proton and electron. And, what the electron is really doing is exchanging pressure. That is, this electron moves to, say, this position, which causes this electron to move to this position, and that changes the other electrons, obviously. So you're basically just changing the position of an electron. And as I'm sort of trying to argue, if you look at an atom after you've done this position change, the atom will look different. This atom now has got this proton force. Let's say the proton and the electron were excreting a different force. We use wiggly lines for the electron. You could understand that what you're seeing now from this atom is different than when this electron is here. When the electron's here, this force is being, obscured, you could argue, and the wiggly force from the electron is more dominant. And when it's in this other position, it's likewise a change. I could also argue that the position change could just be closer to the proton and further away from the proton. If I move this pen, closer and closer, I can obscure my existence entirely. The electron's further out. It's clearly blocking the proton, and if it's close in, it's not doing much. It's not nearly as powerful. So you can get the idea that the world sees a different thing. It's a different surface. So the surface changes based on what's happening to these atoms and this little idea of pushing, electrons, moving them a little bit, forcing them into new positions. And you could understand if you start transferring, this electron transfers, that you'd go through that process of exposing the proton, and then this electron would jump to this position, and this electron would go to the next atom. You could understand that that would be the same kind of effect. You'd be turning the proton on and off and on and off as the electrons move. All right, changing the pattern anyway of what the atoms appear to be as the circuit, as the current moves. So you're creating an effect, an electrical effect. So the idea is that when you're sending the current through, you are pushing pressure. So obviously they have the signs wrong, which is the only reason why they talk about current going in the opposite direction of voltage. It's just because they have those two signs wrong. So if the assignments were correct, and you said plus was extra electrons instead of fewer electrons, then you wouldn't have this problem of voltage going one way and current going the other way. So that's just a consequence of something they didn't fix. Now, the Science Asylum says that in his video, implying they probably should have done it. But again, they didn't figure it out for 100 years. And the problem with that is you have to undo a whole bunch of previous work. Everybody has to correct all the older documents. And, you know, nobody wanted to do that. So everybody just agreed to shut up and calculate wrong. Yeah. But anyway, side point, but it's sort of important understanding why the conventions are broken, and they've created new conventions that are broken to fit with the old broken conventions. And so this is how you kind of end up doing a lot of bad science, because you didn't fix what you should have fixed. You didn't fix mistakes. So anyway, so the idea is these electrons are, in fact, moving other electrons with pressure, so they're getting pushed. The electron is sitting here. You can push it with a lot of little force bits, can be pushing on an electron, and has a high velocity, okay? Or there can be very few, and the electron isn't moving very fast, has a little velocity. And that would be your voltage, okay, for the individual electrons. And if you're going to measure the voltage in the current, I mean the voltage in a circuit, you're just measuring the average pressure of the electrons, the ones that are moving. You're not measuring the ones that aren't. The only ones that you're measuring are the ones that are active. And so what you can do is, you know, in a circuit, is you can create more amperage, which is more electrons moving at a slower velocity. Or you can have one electron moving at a high velocity. So the difference is how many are moving. So they talk about drift speed, but there is no drift speed. Drift speed ends up being an averaging of what the average, if you calculate what all the electrons in the material were doing, that's the drift speed. So obviously, I wouldn't say it's obvious, but you can sort of understand that if there's a high voltage, you only need one electron to carry a lot of energy. If there's low voltage, that is low pressure, then you need lots of them to carry a lot of watts. And the more atoms you affect, turns out that's what's creating the magnetism, is affecting the atoms. So the more atoms you do this to, where you change the positions of the electrons, the more magnetism, the more pattern you're going to create. So that kind of just gets to the idea of they don't really understand a regular magnet. So if we had a regular little magnet here, north, south, they think the magnet's doing something. They think a whole bunch of stuff is flying out of one end and going into the other end, which isn't happening. All the magnet is doing, it's different than a piece of steel. Right? They're just like each other, right? The steel that's not magnetic, the steel that is. Same thing, and all you're doing is saying, I'll heat it up, expose it to magnetism, and lock it in that position. Or I'll just put a little wire around it and, you know, create an electromagnet. I'm obviously not changing much, so why? What's the difference? And the difference is just, it has nothing to do with what the magnet is doing, so to speak. It just has to do with this idea. And so all you're doing is creating a pattern on the surface, so when the energy that's in the field, that's already in the universe, hits it, it reflects different with a pattern, okay, when it's magnetized. There's a pattern in the reflection. There's a visible difference in the reflection. So that same thing is happening to this wire when you're putting electricity through it. So when you're doing this moving electron thing through the wire, okay, and creating, you're pushing in pressure here. The pressure is being created by force bits, okay, pushing electrons a certain velocity. They find a path. It might not be a perfect path, but they find a path through the wire, you know, doing this exchanging thing, changing the position of electrons, it changes what the thing looks like. So if you use a high voltage, you'll affect a very few electrons and you won't hurt the wire much. You use a low voltage with a high amperage, that means you've got a lot of $1 bills, people. You're sending either one person with a $1,000 bill or you're sending 1,000 people with $1 bills. If you send 1,000 people with $1 bills, you affect lots of atoms, change how they look, create lots of magnetism. You can't do it with high voltage. It doesn't work because very few atoms get changed. Very little of the material is affected. But if you want to melt a wire, yeah, you put low voltage in and a high amperage, and the thing starts to fall apart, but you're affecting a lot of atoms, causing a lot of atoms to do a lot of moving. All right. So the low voltage, high amperage is more likely to create heat. The high voltage is less likely to create heat. Simple arguments can be made, okay? Very logical arguments. So the pressure is moving through the wire, and as it moves through the wire, it's doing this. It's turning things from, let's say, if the electron pressure was blue, okay, light, and the proton was red light, you can sort of understand it's creating a pattern, red, blue, red, blue, red, blue, in terms of what gets reflected to the world. And it's creating a little bit of this here magnetism. All right. So that's changing the field out here in the sense that the energy is going in purple and it's coming out red, blue, patterned, okay, segregated, separated. And a magnet can see that, or a piece of steel can see that, or a piece of copper can see that. So there's this famous, you know, copper experiment where you drop a magnet into a copper tube and the magnetism, you know, the paramagnetism, whatever, it doesn't really matter what you call it, it creates, instead of iron, it doesn't create a sympathetic field, that is one that will create attraction, it creates a reflection. And it reflects exactly whatever this is, north-south, well then it creates, south-north, and it also will just reflect the magnet, it'll keep pushing the magnet with the opposite field, the same field that's coming at it, it will reflect back, okay, and so the magnet will drop much slower because of the opposite field you create. Now, it's not a huge magnetic field. It's not a very strong magnetic field. But now you get to transformers where essentially you're taking advantage of it and trying to collect all of it. So for the whole length of the wire, you're creating some magnetism. Now, if you can, you know, wrap the wires in a coil, you know, then you can concentrate it because it's all in the interior, right? And then you put another coil inside of that coil, then you're creating essentially a transformer. But it works a lot better if you just put a piece of iron in there, you know, and then put a piece of iron around another one, and you can magnetize this iron. You're going to magnetize this iron, and so you can put your secondary here and transfer the motion here into the motion here through this incidental pattern change. So the pattern change can be used to take what's happening here and recreate it in another piece of metal. So what you're doing basically is saying, look, if I can flash this, you know, signal, you know, so it's red, blue, red, blue, red, blue, you know, then I change it to blue, red, blue, red, blue, red. You can see that this side's going to do the same thing. And when it does the same thing, it's going to be essentially doing the same thing as this. It's moving electrons. So the electrons are moving because of the pattern change. That is, energy is coming in, that it's pushing on the electron. The electron goes that way when it gets pushed on, and it ends up being the same thing as creating a current. So by pushing on the electrons with a magnetic field, you end up causing in them the same sort of reaction that caused the action over here. So the action is being caused over here by pressure that moves the electrons. The field, the image, is going to hit another object and cause it to do the reciprocal thing. Now, at 1 meter, okay, in the Veritasium video, distance, this force, okay, gets diluted. It's very weak. So at 1 meter, you're not going to collect much pressure. You're not going to collect much energy. So if you had 100 watts over here you might collect 1 watt over here in terms of total energy, total pressure. So it's not a very, you know, we can make our best transformer and it might still only be 90% efficient. That is, you're going to create heat and a lot of other stuff. You're going to waste some of the energy. So you're not going to have a perfect transfer. So the field doesn't perfectly transfer. Not even that the wire does, but the wire, the direct wire, this flow, is still more more efficient in lighting the light bulb than induction, okay? I mean, everybody's talking about inducting now through, you know, they have stoves that are inductive stoves, and then they have, you know, you can charge your iPhone or whatever through induction. It's not the most efficient way to charge it. It's still more efficient to plug it into an adapter and charge the phone. It's, you know, this is a convenience. It isn't a superior way. It isn't energy efficient. It isn't green. It isn't any of that stuff. It's a little bit wasteful. It's an indulgence, okay? It's not a, it's not the best way to do it. So I'm just saying that, yes, it's true that when you put a current through a wire, you send a signal to the world. That is, the field is affected, but it's not being affected by energy you have already used. It is not energy you're creating. You're just creating a magnetic field. You're turning something that's not magnetic into something magnetic. And by turning it into something magnetic, you're going to change the field, and it means that you can cause, you know, another piece of metal to become a sympathetic magnet and create the same, whatever you've caused here, the creating the same pattern causes the same effect. All right, but you're not going to collect it all. So in Veritasium, or in the Silence Asylum video, I mean, yes, there is a field coming off the battery. Once you have energy flowing, okay, you're creating a pattern, on off, you know, red green, flashing lights. They're flashing red and green, and that will be sent to the conductor over here, okay, but it's going to be very weak, all right, and so it's going to cause a very, very weak current from this shorter direction. So yes, if you made this 10 miles, the wire, yes, it's going to take a while for the electron pressure to go through the whole wire, create this red-green effect all the way around, red-blue. But the fact is this is where there's going to be a lot more amperage, you know, a lot more current. So you can deliver 100 watts versus 1 watt this way. So it's a huge difference in the sense you can't say they're the same thing. One of them's a consequence of what metals do when you put current through them, which is create this magnetic effect. And the magnetic effect isn't creating energy. It's not creating extra energy. It's just turning on, okay, a mirror. It's turning on a view. It's changing how the thing looks. So you can think of it like, holograms isn't a great way to think about it, but you know, you can just think about it that way. So you can turn it and change what it looks like. You know, you turn the knob and it changes how the thing looks. And how the thing looks matters to other things. How they get hit matters. And if you create a certain pattern here, you can create the same pattern on another surface. And if that pattern is created, that is, the pattern is you're putting force in, pushing an electron. You're now creating electricity. Electricity is moving electrons. Now, whether they just move in the atom or whether they move from atom to atom, it's a whole nother subject. Gets into, you know, you can ask questions like, you know, that space is a perfect insulator. You know, I could have a trillion volts on a surface, and in space I can't get lightning to jump. I can't get a spark to go from this surface to this surface. And you'd say, why not? Why can't the electrons just fly? Electrons like to be flown off of surfaces. They work in little tubes and they shoot around. It works in a photomultiplier, can get the electron to jump. It's because a photomultiplier isn't a perfect vacuum. And they have shoved a little gas in there, an ionized, you know, gas that's capable of transferring electrons. So it's not as simple as just electrons flying off the surface. So, you know, all the physics is a little bit messy because they haven't put all the pieces together and made them all fit. So the pieces to understand here is that the flow of the electricity is not making energy. None of the energy from the electricity, that is the pressure of the electrons being pushed, none of that energy is flying out as magnetism. All it's doing is changing the appearance of the atoms, and the change in the appearance is what the other object is going to be able to react to, because you're creating a pattern in it, and the pattern you're creating is basically move your electron to the left, move your electron to the left, move your electron to the left, which ends up just being electricity. So the reason why AC current works in transformers and DC doesn't is because once you've created the DC pattern, that is, it's a one-way pattern of red, green, red, green, red, green, it does the same thing to this thing, and then it's done. Once you've pushed the field, it's a conductor, so it balances all the atoms. So you pushed your electron, and then the system said, I'm done. I pushed it. The pattern's not changing. And so I'm done. You know, I'm done pushing. What it does is they share the pressure, essentially all the atoms. So what you're doing when atoms are transferring the energy, probably could use a little more space. You know, when they're transferring it, you could just think of them as being, you know, pressurized, low pressure, and they share the pressure, so they average it. This one gets a little bigger, this one gets a little smaller, and they average, you know, as it moves. And what the conductor does very well is do that averaging. So if you have any atom that's pressurized, it shares its pressure very easily and quickly. So the whole thing just neutralizes. So you have to keep pushing and then letting everything fly back in, let the pressure back in again, and then, you know, push, and then let it flow back in again, and then push. So alternating DC current works, you know, and it's not really AC in the sense that you're not really going from positive to negative. That is, you're not switching the polarity of the current. You're just saying, I'm going to push in this direction, and then I'm going to stop pushing, and then I'm going to push in this direction, and I'm going to stop pushing, and then I'm going to push in this direction, and I'm going to stop pushing. That works just as well on a transformer. Now, obviously, it doesn't work as well in terms of efficiency of transferring electricity because there's a whole period where you're not doing any work. Okay, you're just letting the system, you're letting the conductor neutralize what you did. So you're agitating it, then letting it relax, and then you're agitating it and letting it relax. But it still works. It's still just as effective. So you can just pulse a DC current. Or you can actually switch the direction of the current, change the positive and negative poles. So you can just pulse, positive, stop, positive, stop, positive, stop. Or you can go positive, then I'll switch the polarity, go negative, then I'll go positive, and then I'll go negative. Because obviously if I go negative, it'll be easy for the positive to push against that because you've let even more water back in. So if you thought of it as pushing water, then you have to wait for the water to go back in. If I reverse and push out, then I'm creating a vacuum and even more water comes in. But the idea is that, yes, you have to change it, okay, if you have any hope of continuing to push, because you can't push against something already pushed against. You can't continue to push unless you give it a chance for there to be a lower pressure. If you're maintaining the pressure, nothing's going to happen. Let's see what else needs to be said. So the energy is going through the wire, no doubt about it. If you want to get the full wattage, you know, you're going to have to wait for it. If you try to do it through induction, if you're just going this little distance from this little exposure, the little bit of exposure you're going to get from this little section of the circuit, all this wiring could be a huge distance. Well, then you're not going to get anywhere near the wattage. You're going to get way below. So unless you take all of those wires that are going that way and that way, and in Veritasium's example, going all the way to halfway to the moon, unless you in some way collect that energy and collect it in some way that's doesn't have to travel down the other wire. I mean, you could put the two wires next to each other in straight lines, 300,000 miles of straight line wires, and you could even, you know, twist them together and create a cheap transformer, but it's still cheap because the wires only have exposure. You know, if you have a piece of wire here going into the board, you sort of understand the wire's creating this effect in all directions. And if you just have a wire here next to it, you're just collecting part of the effect. So you haven't, you're losing all of the other effect. So, you know, this is a practical matter. You have to do something a little bit more sophisticated if you want to trap more and more of the energy. You have to build a transformer. So outside of a transformer, you're going to get very little of the energy in the circuit. Yeah, so there's really nothing else to say, right? I mean, there's a technical correctness to the fact that the field changes can be exploited, and you can take what's happening in one circuit and duplicate it in another, you know, create another, you know, have the energy move this 1 meter, but it's a small, tiny percentage of the overall energy that's going to be delivered by the wire itself. And it's just silly to say it's the same, that somehow this energy is being created by the field. No way. The field's not causing the electrons to flow in the wire. The pressure you put in is causing the flow. And the side effect of that is the field change. The field change is the side effect. It isn't the cause of anything. And what they're implying is the thing causing the movement in the wire is the change in the field. So it's really backwards. And that's only the only point I want to make. It's just really wrong to call the side, there's another word for side effect, the incidental change, the inadvertent change, the language. You get older, you start losing your vocabulary. But anyway, it's a side effect. The magnetism is a side effect. It isn't the energy. It's just a side effect of what the energy did. The energy moved the electron. The side effect is you change the polarity of the atoms. They're now polarized differently. And that effect, okay, causes the universe to reflect off of them differently and cause a pattern in the field. And if you duplicate the pattern, if you have the pattern hit certain metals, they'll recreate the cause of the pattern. Creating the pattern is the same thing as making the electricity again. All right, that's probably enough said. All right, I think so. Yeah, pretty sure. Pretty sure. All right, so again, their theory is that these little bits here are doing the work, and they're just a side effect. And the real work is in the little blue thing with the lightning in it. That's doing the real pushing of the electrons that are causing the surface changes, the appearance changes, that's reflecting the universe differently, the energy already in the universe, causing it to become a magnetic field rather than a mixed field. It becomes a blue and red field instead of a purple field. Yeah, that's, I can't make it much simpler. All right, so we'll call that a video. And such. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else to say. I did see something kind of funny. I watched How to Produce Entanglement. I thought this was kind of funny. You know, so this is, you know, I'm just looking at some of his older videos to see if there's anything in here that's, you know, worth talking about. So, it's just the same old bullshit, the crystal crap. So he goes to the lab with some dork and he's explaining his crystal bullshit. And it's just so funny just because it's so stupid, right? You know, they're entangled because they say so. They're not entangled by any evidence. You know, they're certainly not entangled in any way where they don't know what they are. I mean, the simple truth is, you know, look, you put the you put the ultraviolet energy in and you get infrared, two infrared photons out. That's completely logical. Okay, you can figure out how, you know, dot, 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 dot could be changed into dot, 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 and dot, 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 dot. So, you know, eight dots becomes four dots over here and four dots over here separated by a little more distance. Totally understandable as a possibility. But it only happens rarely, right? So most of the photons don't even do this hitting of an electron in just the right way to create these two opposite photons flying out in opposite directions. So they're also coming out in opposite directions, you know, in vectors that are, you know, at a 90-degree angle to each other. And but they have different polarizations, and so they're just left and right-handed gloves. One of them's coming out, you know, one side in this shape, and the other one's coming out the other side in this shape, and that's all there is. There's no entanglement. Just such a pile of crap. But anyway, the point is that Brozo made so apparently this is a, you know, this Brozo whatever gave this guy money or did something, but this guy apparently likes Brozo for whatever reason. He even hearted little Brozo's silly comment on the other video. Gave it a little heart. So anyway, so somewhere in here is a Brozo comment, and he says, you know, he's complaining about the background music. I just thought it hilarious. So he writes a little joke about Mexicans, right? This is the guy, the politically correct guy, you know, who got all upset because I called something girly physics, but he can talk about Mexicans, right? And do cliche Mexican jokes. He's such a hypocrite. It's just so funny. I mean, these people are so despicable. So anyway, yeah, so he's doing a Mexican joke about bad music. And he's, you know, on a video. And that's the funny part, right? I mean, the fact that Brozo puts this retarded music in the background of his videos. And it's just so funny that he's making some rag about the rinky-dink music in the background of this video. And Brozo puts horrendous, you know, circus music behind his videos. It's just hilarious. You know, the guy is so... He is really retarded. I mean, just really retarded. So anyway, I didn't even notice the music, so I'll play a little just to hear it.
If I input horizontal light...
I don't hear any there. Oh yeah, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. It's so soft you can barely even hear it.
So this is one type of crystal. I'm going to call this number one.
So what's wrong with it?
What I can also do...
I can barely even hear it, and it just goes la 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 la. It's so benign. Now, I mean, I would argue that, yeah, all of these videos, they're just basically saying, I'm too lame to carry a video. I need music in it. You know, they're basically saying something like, I can't hold people's attention. I'm not silly enough, you know, I'm not gay enough, I'm not anticky enough, you know, so I need, you know, some silly music in the background because I can't do it. I can't cover the bases. It just, so to me, it's just a concession that you fail, that you have to put music in the background. I mean, it's just too silly. Now, I can understand it, you know, I sometimes have a problem, the furnace turns on or something else, and maybe it'd be good if I had some other background shit to cover that up. But otherwise, what intelligent person wants this dinkalinky bullshit in the background? Well, who does that? To me, it's all distraction. I mean, you know, it just gets in the way. It can never enhance the video. It can only be a distraction. A detraction. So anyway, I just thought it was insanely funny. So, but whatever. I mean, the hypocrisy. The fucking hypocrisy of this lunatic. So anyway, that's enough said. Yeah. Alright, so, it really is just such... This is such poofy physics. You know, they're little entangled photons. And it really is poofy. I mean, there's a lot of poofters in it. Not that I have anything against it. I'm all for. I vote for poofters all the time. You know, I wasn't a big fan of ACT UP. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of, you know, poofters forcing us to love them. But I have no sympathy for anybody who would ever treat a gay person shabbily. Okay, no, not at all. But I will honestly say, I don't get it, frankly. You know, if I was gay, I certainly wouldn't want the gay guy to behave in every way like the silliest woman on the planet. That's not what I like about women, is the silly part. That really doesn't do it for me. So, yeah, so I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Anyway. Oh, you know, and then the stuff they do, it's just hilarious. Saw a show the other night, like an old show. And you could just say, you know, where they were doing hairstyles on women. And you're just saying, a gay guy did that. A gay guy cut that woman's hair because she couldn't look worse. I mean, it looked like a pile of dog dew on her head. You know, and you're just saying, who but a woman hater would cut a woman's hair that way? But the women can't tell the difference. That's the funny part. They think they look really cool with dog dew on their head. The world, it's just, you know, this planet sucks for just so many reasons. I mean, it just, the list goes on and on. Oh, I just hate it here. I just hate it. Oh, fuck. How did I end up on this fucking idiotic planet? I just don't get it. All right, so till the next time, such and so forth and whatnot. A little extra, I just threw in. I mean, you could just pretend the last 5 minutes didn't happen and be okay with me. I make physics videos, damn it. Fuck all that other shit. Anyway. So this has been a draftphysics.com video presentation. I'll keep doing my part. That's all I can do. I can just reason with you people. I can't do anything else. That's all there is. You're unreasonable. You're unreasonable. Okay, got it. Doesn't change what I have to do. Fact.